I can't even. And that's the end of the meme. I can't even. And he's just so tired, they can't even. There you go. I can't even. But the other thing is, I've watched marathons and I've seen people exhausted when they've gotten to the finish line. They've collapsed as they've gone over that finish line. They've given it everything that they've got. They're laying prostrate on the ground and they're relieved that they've made the marathon. But they didn't win. And I kept thinking, you know, it can be quite disheartening when you've run the race and you haven't won. But, you know, the Bible tells us to faint not. And somehow we think it's easier said than done. True, it is easier for me just to say, don't faint. But, you know, God doesn't call us just to say it. He calls us to live it, the Word of God, to live the life. And he calls us to faint not. Living for God wasn't meant to be the easiest life of all, but it is the best life of all. And everyone says, amen. It's the best life of all. Don't give up. Don't give up. Jesus made this point. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes, you're going to have tough times on this earth. But it doesn't end there. Jesus has overcome this world. Jesus has already had the victory in this world, praise God. Jesus rose from the dead so that we could live a victorious life in him. You know, just like in a boxing match, if the opponent's being overwhelmed, you know what sometimes they do? They'll throw the towel in, meaning it's over. Please stop. We don't want to have any more of this fight. And God's got to be with us in the ring. There's no need for the towel. The only one that's going to need the towel is the devil. Because God is fighting for us. You know, you feel sometimes you're cornered. You feel like you're down to your last move, like you are on a chessboard. And we've heard this one many times, don't give up, because God has one more move. He has one more move. Amen. And praise God, we can live for God knowing that he is with us. No matter what happens, no matter where we go, no matter which place we end up in, God is with us. And you know, we often pray that God will move the mountains. And yes, he does. Mountains and waves still know his name. They still answer to his name. But praise God, remember this, that sometimes the mountains are left there so you can climb them. Wow. You mean I've actually got to do some work? Well, yes, you do. I said before, living for God wasn't easy, but it's the best. And God knows what you need. He knows what is relevant for you in your time of life. He knows where you are, what you need to do to be more established in him. And sometimes God's not moving mountains because he's so busy trying to move you. Amen? But don't faint. Because I'm telling you tonight, and I believe by the word of God, because God gave me this message this week, don't give up. Your blessing is coming. You've been hanging on and hanging on. And I'm telling you tonight, keep hanging on some more, because the blessing is coming. Oh, yes. And I felt moved by Brother Taylor's message that he preached the other week. about Abraham. And that God walked down in the midst of the offerings. And that was such an amazing message, brother. Praise God. But I wish to go a little bit further with Abraham tonight. Turn with me, if you will, in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, or test Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom you love, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. As we have come to know about Abraham, Isaac was a long time in the making. It just didn't happen overnight with Isaac. You know that when Abraham was in his mid-80s, God first came to Abraham and made him a promise. Abraham, you see the stars in the sky? That's how many children you're going to have. Your descendants are going to be like the stars of heaven and the sand in the sea. Abraham's probably thinking, well, I haven't got anyone yet. And plus, I'm in my 80s here, God. Think about it, the logic of it. And Sarah, his wife, who was to bear this son, was a young lass at the ripe old age of 75, approximately. 75 years old. Wow. This was just when the promise was made. And we can talk about Abraham along the way. You know, he made some monumental messes along the way, trying to fulfill the plan of God for his life, his way. And you think, after hearing the promises of God, that he would be able to heed to it and wait and not faint. But you know what? Sarah, his wife, said, Look, take my handmaid and you'll have a son with my handmaid, and that son become your heir. Sounds all good and well, but that was not what God had planned. God didn't plan for that. He said that Sarah would bear a son. And so Ishmael was born. And so, you know what happened then? Sarah wasn't happy. You got to kick Ishmael out and Hagar and get rid of them, because I don't want them here. And Abraham was grieved. Of course he was. Still his son. And you know what? He listened, because God said, Listen to your wife and do it. And so he kicked Hagar and Ishmael out. And he said, This was not what I planned, Abraham. You need to wait. And you know what? The problem still didn't stop there. You can keep reading on a little bit further here. And it says that when they were journeying, they came to a place. And this place was owned by a man by the name of Abimelech. And Abraham and Sarah had this agreement, because Sarah was Abraham's sister, not directly though. And so they would say, just for protection, that when we come to these strange places, that you would be called my sister and I would be called your brother. And so Abimelech, the king, he liked Sarah. And therefore he said, I'm going to take Sarah to be my wife. Well, this was really bad. I mean, Abraham should have just come out with her. Sarah is my wife. You can't have her. And so God comes to Abimelech. God has to step in at this point and gives Abimelech a dream. He said, You touch her, you're a dead man. That's basically what it is. I'm just not mincing words here. He said, You touch Sarah, you're a dead man. And this is what Abraham should have done. You touch my wife, you're gone. Men, we need to have that sort of substance as well. And so God intervened again. And Abimelech came out to Abraham. He said, what have you done to me, Abraham? And so Abraham got given all these offerings and things to make things right. And Sarah was given back to Abraham. And it was at this point that Abraham had finally learned his lesson, that he was to wait on the promises of God. And it can be hard waiting. Who here loves waiting? I hate waiting. You know, I struggle to wait in a drive-thru at McDonald's, let alone waiting any longer. We expect everything so instantly. But God's time is not our time. And our time is not God's time. God is sovereign, and he will do it when he pleases to do it. And so from there, Abraham had to wait another decade or so more. And God came and visited Abraham, and he said, about this time next year, you will have a son. Who knows how old Abraham was at this point? Anybody? 99. Yep, 99, turning 100, somewhere there. But 99, yes. And you know what? Sarah wasn't young either, 90. And they had a son called Isaac. Stay with me here, everyone. And so can you imagine how much Sarah would have gushed over her own son, Isaac, their only son? Oh, he's just so good at running. He can do maths so well. He's an expert. He's only 12 years old. And rightly so, he was the pride and joy of his parents. And you know something? This was the point when God visited Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to take your pride and joy, the son that you love, your only son. Abraham has spent his lifetime waiting for an heir, for his own son born into his own house. And God's telling him, take your son and sacrifice him to me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine as a parent, God asking you to do something like that? And the Bible says that God tested Abraham. And there's going to come times in our lives when we get tested. But I want to encourage you, don't faint. You keep hanging on with all of your might. You keep hanging on to the unchanging hand of God, and God will carry you through. And I still remember that beautiful card called Footprints. We all know that card, Footprints. And Jesus is walking along the side with this person, and they're seeing two sets of footprints in the sand. And then at one stage, as you see a single set of footprints. And they said, God, I don't understand that in my lowest and loneliest times of my life that you would leave me. Hallelujah. I feel God right now. Someone is feeling like this. God hasn't left you. God hasn't forgotten you. God has remembered you. God knows who you are. And right now, hallelujah, God in your heaviest and loneliest times of your life has carried you. That is why you only see the one set of footprints in the sand, because it was then he had you in his arms and he was walking you down there, holding you, cradling you, loving you. Praise God. That's our God that we serve. That's our God that loves us. Hang on tight, praise God. Don't faint. Don't give up, for the blessing is coming. The blessing is on its way. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Abraham gets to the land of Moriah. And it's here that the journey begins, because he has to ascend the mountain. And yet we struggle when we see these mountains, and we're praying, God, if it's possible, remove this mountain. But God doesn't want to move that mountain. He wants you to climb that mountain. He wants you to go up there. He wants you to push through. Because you know what? When there's mountains in your life, you know what it drives you to do? It drives you to your knees. What makes you want to draw closer to God? You just want to touch the hem of his garment. You just want to feel his presence in your life. You just want to feel the strength of God causing through your heart once again. Praise God. Lord, don't move that mountain, but keep it there so that it keeps me humble, that it keeps me in the will of God. Help me to climb that mountain, though, Lord. And God will be with you. Praise God. Don't give up. The blessing is coming. And so Abraham, he takes wood and fire, his son, of course, and a knife. Four things. He ropes the wood to his son's back. Son, you're carrying the wood. He has a knife. He has a fire in one hand. And you know, and his son. He tells his servants that came with him, I and the lad are just going to go yonder and worship, and we will come back again. Abraham had faith, but also he was obedient to what God wanted him to do. Faith and obedience go hand in hand, saints. And, you know, I could imagine the servants scratching their heads. You know, where's the offering? Can you think of that logically? They didn't come with an offering. They'd be there, where's the offering? They wouldn't say that. Doesn't tell us that they said that. And, you know, as a father, as he's wandering off with his son, whether the journey was going to be too much. God, I have spent years of my life waiting for this promise just to lose it. Can you imagine that? And Isaac asks his dad the obvious questions that the servants were thinking. It says there in the scripture, where is the offering? Where's the offering, Dad? We've got the wood. You've got the knife. Got the flame. Where's the offering? Abraham simply said, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. Saints, when we begin to grow weary, when we begin to faint, don't stop believing what God can do. Don't stop believing that God can provide, because God is our provider. He's our Jehovah Jireh. He's our supplier that will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. Don't give up. My God is the God of the impossible. Let's say it again. My God is the God of the impossible. Praise God. There's a scripture that's become part of my life over this last 12 to 18 months. Ephesians 3:20. And it says this. Now unto him who is able to do. Okay. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding. Let's do this again. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think according to the power that works in us. Praise God. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, there is nothing impossible to you. Amen. This is the God that we serve. Don't limit what God can do in your life when you're in a mountain. God is God of the mountain. Praise God. And so they get to the top of this mountain. Abraham builds the altar. He unropes the wood. He places the wood on the altar. He uses that same rope and he ties up Isaac to the altar. And here comes the tough moment. The moment we've all been waiting for. And Abraham's looking into the eyes of his son as he's got the knife up here. And you know, this is the defining moment of obedience to God. But it's also the testing moment for Abraham, whether he would faint. And with his hand raised up, you could almost make it more dramatic if you wanted to. You hear the heartbeat. You know, and you can hear it going, Abraham's veins are pulsing. He says, I love you, son, looking into his eyes. And he's about to bring the knife down. And he hears a voice come out of heaven. Abraham, stop. Stop. Stop now, Abraham. Because I know now that you will withhold nothing from me. Even your only son, you wouldn't withhold him from me. But I believe that Abraham knew that even if Isaac was slain, that God would raise him up again. This is the faith of Abraham, praise God. And you know something? That at this point, he turned around and there was a ram caught in the bush by its horns. God did provide himself a lamb. God did provide himself a lamb. And at that crucial point in your life, brothers and sisters, don't let go of God. Don't let go of the promises. Don't let go of what God has said he would do for you. There is promises in my life that have yet to be fulfilled. And I've been serving God for 30 plus years. But I'm telling you, I haven't let go of those promises. I'm still hanging on to those promises, praise God. Because I know that God is going to supply. That God is going to provide. That God is going to do what he said he would do. And God wasn't done with Abraham yet. So, oh, wow, that's a bit much. The blessings were coming. The blessings were coming. And in Genesis 22 and verse 16 to 18, it says this. And said, and this is God, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. I thank God that Abraham obeyed the voice of God. It's because of that that we are blessed as well. All the nations of the earth are blessed because of the obedience of Abraham on that day. Amen. Tonight I'm telling you, don't stop doing what God has called you to do. Don't stop. Keep doing that good thing. Keep doing what is needed to be done. Because the Bible says at Galatians 6:9, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Keep doing it. Because you know something? The blessing is coming. The blessing is coming. The blessing is coming, amen. Oh yeah, the blessing is coming, Sister Ailsa. God's got a blessing for you. God's got a blessing for you, amen. Praise God. God has a blessing to you, Brother Josh. You know God's got a blessing for you, Alpha? Sister Bethany, Sister Michelle, Sister Brooke. God's got a blessing for you. Every one of us has a blessing from God. This is the promise of God. This is how God works. Amen. Don't stop praying, as we've heard through the messages from Pastor Jonathan, from heaven to earth. Build your altar. Make it bigger, praise God. And pray to God for the power of heaven to be moved, for earth to be moved, praise the Lord, that the blessings will come into your life when you continue to trust Him, when you continue to put your faith in Him, when you continue to put one foot after the other. I'm not stopping. I'm not letting go. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. But I'm hanging on to Jesus. I'm hanging on to His promises. I won't give up because the blessings are coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the musicians would come. Isaiah chapter 40. And many of us know this scripture. Hast thou not known, in verse 28, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Here it is. He gives power when you are feeling weak, when you are feeling desolate, when you are feeling alone, when you are feeling heavy-hearted, when you feel like you just don't know whether you can take one more step. He gives power to the faint, amen. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And here it is, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Herein lies the strength of many mighty women and men of God who've gone on before, that they realized they couldn't do it on their own, but they did it with the Lord's help. And as I finish here, this understanding this, when the Bible tells us to wait on God, this particular word wait doesn't mean just to sit around and wait for it to happen. It means like a servant would wait on a table. God expects us to be working while we are getting ready for what God wants to do. Wait on God. Serve God. Put God first. Keep going on for Jesus when you don't think you can go on. Praise God, Sister Jeanette. God's got a blessing coming your way. Amen. Praise God. Heaven is moving tonight. God is beckoning each and every one of us. Draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. Praise the Lord. And praise God. The gates of heaven will open. Bible says that he will pour out a blessing so great that we won't be able to contain it. But we need to be waiting on God. And tonight I urge you, don't give up. The blessing is coming. Don't give up. The blessing is coming. Amen. Let's all stand here tonight.